I ran marketing departments in corporate America for 10 years and then ran a digital agency for over another 10 years. So I know the roadmap to online success, and that formula always includes producing content to share your message, from your marketing message to sales and delivery. Hi, I'm Jennifer Neal, and you're listening to The Content Toolbox. I believe the secret to finding and creating raving fans online is through you. In building relationships through stories that share who you really are, create genuine, crazy, raving fans that keep begging you to take their money. And on this podcast, we'll be talking strategies, tactics, tips, and more with myself and other industry experts. So buckle up and start your engines, because it's go time. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Content Toolbox. I am so excited to introduce you to the amazing Miss Brooke Evans. Brooke and I somehow only met this last year, even though we were in very similar coaching groups, and we met and it was like, oh, where have you been my whole life?
Exactly. Where have you been? We're kind of mad about it.
Yep. And Brooke is, oh my gosh, you guys, she's doing some super, super awesome things with high ticket selling and using your message for that. So I don't want to totally take away your back history here, but welcome to the show,
Miss. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. It's awesome.
All right. So I started going into a little bit, but for those who don't know you, go ahead and give us a little bit about your history and how you got where you are.
Yeah. So I started entrepreneurship about 6-7 years ago. And when I started, I was actually helping real estate agents and with their business strategy and their mindset. And so in order to acquire a client, obviously I had to sell a client. So for like 3 years, I did high ticket selling, enrolling these real estate agents. And it was there that like I learned my passion for selling. But more importantly, I learned some really hard and some really great lessons about fulfillment. And long story short, I spent in those 3 years like over $70,000 worth of money on learning how to be a sales rep, because honest to goodness, like your girl right here was not the best at sales. So we apologize and we say sorry for that past, but we are over it and we are grateful. So this girl right here, I'm talking in third person. I don't know why I'm doing that, but sometimes it just seems more comfortable when you're relaying your past mistakes. No. So I really struggled, and it got to a point where I was only closing like 1 in 14 to enroll these real estate agents. And so I invested over $70,000 to like have sales coaches and experts to really help me understand, like, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? I know I'm not the best, but I know I need to close. Because if I don't close, then I don't help clients. If I don't help clients, then like, I have no purpose. And I'm very mission driven and I'm very impact centered. And that was affecting both of those, which was really, really frustrating to me because I knew that my program was good. So long story short, it's like 114, $70,000 later, still not closing, really great. And so I decided one day to like sit at my kitchen table and take matters into my own hands, because I knew that this was the path that I needed to go on. And I knew it was like a solution that not just I needed, but I had peers in other coaching programs that were struggling with sales the same way that I was, because the direction that was being given was like either slimy or sleazy or wasn't authentic to like who we were and what we did. And so I sat down at this wood kitchen table and I reviewed 1,024 of my sales calls that I had taken over the past like 3 years. And I learned some pretty key lessons from there in patterns of like who closed, who didn't, why they closed, why they didn't, if they closed without objections, if they did close, like why they had objections and what they were. And long story short, I was able to figure out how to help people close their high ticket offers, including myself, without facing any objections, and do it in one sitting without feeling like slimy, sleazy, or manipulative. And my close rate went from like 1 in 11 at that point to 1 in 3. And if you want to talk about like conversion rates and what that number means, it's like incredible, because your conversion rate represents how much time it takes to enroll in client, how many clients you get per month, and how much impact you can have that year because of how much money you make. And so it was just a total game changer. And so then I shifted gears and went from like real estate to the online market, to coaches, consultants, and online experts. Anyone really that had a 2K offer or above. And I started helping them with two things that I'm incredibly passionate about, and that is selling and fulfillment. And so here we are today, and we are loving our life and loving our clients. So that's a little bit about me.
That is so fantastic. Wow. I love that you went back through so many examples of even your own stuff and said, where are the patterns?
Yeah.
That's how my brain works too.
Yeah.
And those numbers.
Yeah.
That's a huge change.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredibly significant when you look at income, when you look at the amount of time. I mean, before it was taking me 10 calls before I would hear a yes, which means 10 hours before I would hear a yes. And I tell everyone, like, I don't care who you are, like, that does something to you. You start questioning yourself, you start questioning your program, you start questioning, like, if you even get results for people because you hear no so often. And it's one thing to hear, like, no, 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 but it's another thing to hear, like, no, 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 you know, and you're just like, that is the only message the universe has for me. So we changed that, and it's been fulfilling for me, but maybe more fulfilling to help like clients, honestly.
Yeah, I can absolutely see that. And you mentioned something in here. I just want to dig into a little bit where without feeling slimy or sleazy and really being authentic.
Yeah.
So tell me about the journey to understanding your own authentic self and your own and that message.
Yeah.
And like how you discovered using that in your actual sales calls.
Yeah, such a good question. So I'm going to take it with two principles that I think I could pull out that are the answer to that question. Maybe there's more, but these are off the top of my head. The first one would be authenticity to results. And then the second one I'm going to go over is the pendulum, is what I would call it. So the first one, authenticity to results. So like, if we are going to be authentic on sales calls, we have to be authentic and integrous to the results that we're getting our clients. And I think it's really, really difficult to sell when you haven't gotten evidence, or you haven't had evidence or enough things to show you and convince you that your product is worth selling. I heard a quote the other day that was so awesome. And it was like, the more useless the product, the more aggressive the sales rep. And I was like, oh my gosh, that could not be truer. Like, that's when we get slimy and sleazy and manipulative, is when like the product doesn't really serve our clients. And if it does, we don't have any evidences that it's helped anyone to be able to give us like momentum and springboard into helping the person that we're on the phone with. And so authenticity and self first comes from being authentic with the results that we get other people. And if we can start being authentic there and integrous with like our offer and the results that we get, then we can be authentic with ourselves, because there's an alignment that's happening and we feel good about making the offer, because we have so many people that are getting the results they invested in from a previous offer. So I think another like subset of that principle, just really briefly, that I learned is that a lot of times what you'll see is people are selling, but they're not delivering on the thing that they sell, because there's a person that sells and there's a person that fulfills, and the seller is selling, overselling, or communicating an offer that actually isn't what is going to be delivered. And so there's discrepancy, not just on the call, but there's like this discrepancy in the fulfillment, which causes a lot of bitterness for a lot of clients. And so I think that there needs to be congruency, not just on the sales call, but in the fulfillment, so that our people can get results and we can be in alignment the entire way through. The second principle I would have to say is the pendulum, is what I would call it. I think that what I learned on these sales calls is I either had coaches that were like, stop speaking so much, Brooke, like ask more questions, right? The sales training that taught me that. Or I had sales coaches that were like, don't ask so many questions, and like coach them more throughout this. But I saw problems with both things. Like the first one is like, if you're talking the whole time, you're not investigating. And if you're not investigating, you don't really know how to help them because you don't know what their problems are. And then the other side, I saw too much where it was like, because I'm talking too much, I'm overselling. And I first don't get to hear what they have to say. But then if I don't talk enough, then I hear everything that they say, but their beliefs aren't changed when I'm on the sales call. Does that make sense? So it was like this pendulum of I'm talking too much or I'm not talking enough. And there's this balance of you need to understand and investigate the situation, understand where they are and where does they want to be. And then can you help them? Yes or no? It's a simple question. And then you also have the other side of the pendulum that you need to meet in the middle too, which is like, after you've investigated and know if you can help them or not help them, and you understand and see clarity between what their problem is and where their solution is, like, you need to be able to tell effective stories that change their belief so that they don't have objections at the end of a sales call. So a balance of like not talking and talking, but like not doing too much of both, I think is critical in order to raise our conversion rates for our clients.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. There it is, you guys. Like, that's all you need to know. No, I love it, because we were talking about the way that I'm helping people is through targeting your messaging and then repurposing all of that content.
Yeah.
But it's the same principles.
Yeah.
You guys are listening to what she's saying here. It's asking questions, and it's when you are talking that you're providing things of value.
Yeah.
And you're finding that balance, and the way that you are then sharing, yes, I can help you, is through storytelling.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Because it makes, yeah, it brings out your authentic voice. It's,
yeah. And if you have a balance of both, then you're going to see a very natural conversation taking place where like I'm talking and you're talking and we're having like this open dialogue versus like, you're just talking, I'm not doing anything, or I'm just talking, you're not doing anything. Like, I think that there needs to be ownership, participation in on both sides coming into a call in order to effectively help the client or potential customer to have the breakthroughs that they need to have.
Absolutely. Wow. Fantastic model. And I love how you even got to it. Okay. So tactical wise.
Yeah.
So if we have listeners here who are saying, hey, I'm doing high ticket, my closings aren't where I want. Obviously, your program is a fantastic place to go. But yeah. Are there some good stepping stones or like tee up information gathering steps that you'd recommend?
Yeah. So a couple. So the first place I start is actually not with sales with my clients. I actually start with their fulfillment. Yeah, it's kind of amazing that we start there. But the reason that we start there is like, if they are sure in their deliverables, then they will be sure on their sales calls. So we start with looking at, okay, what is the problem you're solving and how long does it take them to get the result of that problem being solved? And can we get there, help them get there faster? Because people don't just want results. They want to get that result in the fastest amount of time, right? And so we really look at, okay, what is where they currently are when they start working with you? Where is it they want to be? And what are the few steps that they need to do inside of your program or with your service that would get them to that destination? And a lot of times, interestingly enough, it's me helping them to take content or pieces out of their program instead of put more pieces in. Because what we're finding is that in their fulfillment, they're actually adding things that they think help the customer that are actually distracting from the end result that customer wants. And so that's the first thing that we would look into and that I would recommend everyone to look into is like every 3 to 6 months, I always go through my programs and my offers and I say, okay, this is good, but how can we make it even better? And you can make it even better by like doing tons of questionnaires on like, where are the dips of where my clients like aren't acting or getting a momentum or getting the results? And like, where are the highs of like where they're skyrocketing and they're getting fuel and they're getting the results? And why are the highs happening and why are the lows happening? And how do we create like checkpoints in our system and in our program so that we can prevent the self-sabotage? I say like repair and repent instead of like, we don't want to do that. Like, we don't want to be reactive to like the fact that they haven't got results. We want to prepare and prevent, right? We want to prepare and prevent by asking questions about where are the highs, where are the lows, and how do we put like safeguards in? And so that they are always in momentum inside our program so they get results the way that they thought they would in their investment. So fulfillment is the first thing that I would definitely look at is like do a personal inventory with your ego off to the side. And like, say like, what is crappy about this program and what needs to be removed? Not keeping things just because you like them or think that they're good, but like only keeping things that lead to the trajectory of that individual getting the result faster. Second thing tactically that we look at then is, okay, now that you have that, and now that you have some evidences of helping clients go through that blueprint and they're getting success, like, how do we take those stories and put them into your sales calls to change their belief? And typically all it looks like when they're going on the sales call is literally telling the story of a past client of where that current prospect is, where it is that that current prospect wants to be, and talking about how that individual got there in your program and inserting some objections that they cannot use or have on your sales call in order to prevent them. And even just saying simple things like, you can either have results or you can have excuses, but at the end of the day, you have to pick one or the other. You can have results that look like, I will do this, I can do this, I'm going to be able to get this result of losing 56 pounds, or I can't do this, this won't work for me, I don't have enough money, or I need to talk to my spouse. But like at the end of the day, you have to choose. And if you want to be like Karma, that literally got from like hating how she fit into her jeans every single day to being able to look at herself in the mirror and accept who she was and like love how she feels and lose weight, and not just lose weight, but live a healthy lifestyle. Like, she had to choose results, and this is all about commitment. It's not about cost. Like, simple things like that, right? That was just an example. But as soon as you work on your fulfillment, you'll have stories about why it worked, and you can use those stories inside of your sales calls.
I love, love, love. Oh my gosh. Okay. So there was a lot in there, you guys. Let's just unpack a tiny bit here. A, I love that you are leading from fulfillment because let's face it. And especially now where so many businesses are going online and taking advantage of digital space.
Yeah.
Not all services out there are equal.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And just because it's a higher price point this day and age doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a better program, you know, or so I think making sure that you're leading from integrity and saying, no, I want to make sure that what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Actually helping people and delivering results.
Yeah. And if you start with integrity in your fulfillment, you're going to end with integrity in your selling. Like, it's just, it's how you start is how you're going to fulfill. And it might be more work to really look at the fulfillment and be brutally honest with it. But at the end of the day, it'll be easier work than getting on sales calls and repelling so many people because you're so desperate because you personally haven't convinced yourself that your product actually works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I love in here to take part of the messaging is you're actually using results. Mm-hmm. Finding the patterns in that, just like you did with your phone calls, but like, what are my results? And then you're using that to tweak not only your offer, but also your message.
Yes. Yes. It's amazing. It's so awesome.
That is so fantastic.
Because one of the things that you find is that sales calls, it's not that the individuals have a problem selling, and it's not often a problem of that they have a huge issue with communicating their offer over the phone. Like, they know what needs to happen in order to get that person result. The huge issue that you usually find, like 90% of the time, is that they are lacking massive amounts of confidence to be able to get on a sales call and take their credit card. And the reason they're lacking confidence is because there's not congruency in their fulfillment. Mm-hmm. So you fix that, you fix selling.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It all comes back to that stupid mindset stuff.
I know, always, right? Why do we, oh my gosh. Unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. All right. So I think that you've already hit on some of them, but top mistakes that you have seen people making.
Oh, so many. let's see. Like, what are some from even this past week that I could recall? I'll do three off of the top of my head. The first one that I see them making is the number one is that they are trying to sell before they've gotten results. I think a lot of industry leaders right now are just being like, pick the price point that you feel good at. Like, oh, it's $997, like charge like $5,000. And it's like, no, that is not the price. That is not the process for picking your price point. Like, we don't just like fill it out and like feel great about it. You know what I mean? Like, we actually have to ask ourselves, like, how much is this program worth based on the results that people get, right? And so the number one mistake I would say is like, really look at the results that you get your people and ask yourself, like, how much can I charge for those results that would lead to like a 10x return on their ROI, whether that's with their health, their wealth, or their mindset, or their relationships, like whatever it is. So number one mistake, like, please look at the results before you look at your selling. Don't look at your selling to then get results. That's totally backwards right now. You should never have like betas of people that you're selling at a really high price point only to convince yourself that like you can do it. Like, you should have enough proven frameworks that you're like, no, this blueprint and this roadmap actually works. So now I can go sell it at this price point. So that's the first big mistake, is we're working backwards and saying, I'll charge a high price, see if it works, and then I'll do it again. If it does, no, we need to look at the results first and then choose our price point. The second thing that is one of the biggest mistakes, I would say, is a lot of people are not coaching and really giving breakthroughs on their sales call. And one of the biggest breakthroughs that you can give any individual is helping them understand what successful people look like, act like, and behave like. And like, this isn't talked about in sales. Like, most people just get on sales calls and are like, what is your problem? What is the solution? This is my offer. You want it? Right? But like, that is not how I do my sales calls, nor is it how I teach my clients to do their sales calls. Like, the person that's on the phone has a problem. They have a problem because they have believed certain things that have caused them to act a certain way that have gotten them certain results. And you need to understand what those behaviors are, because if they start acting in that way in your program, you're just going to be another one of those programs where they blame you and point their finger at you that they didn't get results from. Right? And so two things, like, we need to help people on these sales calls to know how to act in order to be successful. And we need to help educate them on what it looks like to be successful, and specifically be successful in how they perceive money. So my clients all know that, like, the beginning of sales call, they are teaching these prospects how to act. If you are successful, you will take supreme ownership, like on this call. You are successful, you'll be a person that's decisive. If you are a successful, you will be and really driven towards getting the results and the change that you want in your life, then you will be honest and open about where you're at. Like, if we can start doing that more on sales calls, we can help people actually have the breakthroughs that they need that are preventing them from getting the results they want, even without our help sometimes. So helping people to act and know how to act is what people want. And it's what we need to do in order to set a relationship that is, it's grounded and it's foundational on some really key principles, so that when they come into our program, they're not acting out, right? Because we've already set this precedence for how they're going to get results. So characteristics inside of a sales call, no one teaches or trains on it, but like, it's what all my clients do. And I cannot tell you story after story about how many of my clients are actually saying, oh my gosh, like, how my clients are acting inside my program now is actually getting them better results and faster results because of how I'm teaching them on the sales call. So that's mistake number two, is like, we're just not talking about how they need to act and why they haven't gotten results. And then the third thing I would say is the top biggest mistake is we're too emotional and we take our businesses way too personally, which we should to an extent because it's our livelihood, but we need to be way more metrics driven. Like, if we can be governed in ourselves by our numbers instead of our emotions, we will crush it all day long because the numbers won't lie. And then if we literally drive our businesses based on our metrics and our numbers, then we can know and make our business predictable. But with emotions, like, it's going to be all over. You're just going to feel like you were diagnosed with bipolar because you're now somehow an entrepreneur that's like happy one day and sad the next. Well, that's because you're not governing your business by numbers. You're governing your business by your emotions. And so all of my clients know we are governing all of our activities by our metrics. And the number one question that I asked just 2 hours ago to all of my clients was, at the very beginning of every single sales call, coaching call that I do with them, I ask one question they already know before I even ask it. They put it in the chat box, and that is, how much money did you generate this week? Because nothing else matters at the end of the day. And I think that if we were asking those kind of honest questions instead of like cleaning off our desk and like maybe doing a couple of other things that aren't money generating, we would probably be a lot further. But I would say that those are like the top three big mistakes that I see people doing. Again, to recap, one, like, they're looking to prove their results instead of looking at the results to sell their results. And we don't sell our results and then see if we get results. We get results and then we sell our results. That's the number one mistake. Number two is we need to teach our people how to act on sales calls so they won't act out in our programs. And then number three is we need to be governed by our numbers and not our emotions in business.
Oh my gosh, preach. That's such great, great mistakes to point out and for people to avoid. And I've seen the same things for so long. And it's almost like, be emotionally invested in the transformation that you're going to help your people with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But be diligent about your business in terms of it's a business by the numbers.
I love that.
What your, you know, where your results are. Cause yeah, it's, people can vote all day long and say, oh, this is amazing. But if you aren't booking calls and you aren't making sales, it's still not converting.
Yeah. No, you bring up such a great point. Like, we should be logically driven inside our business with like our client acquisition and our client fulfillment, but we should be emotionally driven by our client's transformation. I think that's beautiful. I think that's really beautiful.
That was all you, baby. All right. So one of my favorite questions that I like to kind of close with here is, since starting down this journey,
yeah,
what is something that has happened to you personally or in your business that is a transformation you never expected would have even happened when you first started?
Oh my gosh. Wow. What a question. I think that what I didn't expect to learn in entrepreneurship that I did learn was that I am capable of doing way harder things than I ever would have suspected. I think that entrepreneurship is really interesting in that it forces you to not have any person, thing to blame for what is. And entrepreneurship, because of that, requires you to literally fix your weaknesses, your insecurities, and your resistance at a much faster speed. It demands it. Because if you don't, then you lose because you end up quitting. And so I think entrepreneurship has invited me to do things that I never would have done, like ever would have done. Like I would have, if you would have told me that entrepreneurship would require me to get on phone calls to ask for people's money, if you would have told me that entrepreneurship requires me to publish every single day and go on lives frequently to be able to get exposure, if you would have told me that entrepreneurship requires me to put money in my own bank account and like be accountable to that bank account and pay my own bills and not have anyone bringing in the money except for me. Like, I think I knew a little bit about what that meant, but I didn't know everything about how that would feel. And so I just think that I've learned because of that, because I've had to do those things in order to make it work, that like, I'm a lot better, I'm a lot stronger, and I'm a lot more capable than I ever would have given myself credit for.
Yep. Oh, amazing. Love it. Surprised by your own strength.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a good question. I love that question. Thank you for asking me that. It's really, really good.
Yeah. You know, it's fun to just throw a little bit of a curveball in. It always makes everybody think.
So good. You're so good at interviewing.
All right. Is there anything that I have missed that is any other message or tip or anything that you would like to share with people?
Yeah, such a great question. Again, no, I would say, I think that you have hit on some key things. Just know that, like, I would just end with, sales is literally one of the most lucrative skill sets that you can use and that you can have. And if you don't have this skill set, you need to invest in learning it, not because you may use it, but because you will use it. Like, sales is the lifeblood of business. And if you don't know how to sell, you don't have a business. And so I would just encourage anyone, no matter like what their insecurities, you don't have to be born with it. You heard me, 1 in 14, like how am I even vocalizing that and publishing this worldwide? Like, we don't know. We're actually a little bit ashamed and really scared, but we did it. You can't be worse than me. You don't have to be born with it, but like, you need to learn it. And sales will be one of the most lucrative skill sets that you could ever learn in your entire life.
Absolutely. Because I don't care what kind of business you have. If you're in this online world and you're building a scalable business, at some point you will most likely be selling some sort of a high ticket offer because you're building a tribe.
Yep.
You have a following of people who are like, what's next? What's next?
Yep.
It's and you true. Have to be able to sell it to them.
It's true. It's so true. It's so true.
Awesome. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Brooke. Okay. Where can people go find more information about you or connect with you and your services?
Yes. So you can join my free Facebook group, which is High Ticket Sales for Online Entrepreneurs, where there's great training. There's lots of wins, lots of cha-chings, good things happening there. Or you can start by going to sixfiguresalesscript.com And you can read more about my personal journey. And I have some opportunities for either my script or to work with me. And there's some good things there. So sixfiguresalesscript.com or High Ticket Sales for Online Entrepreneurs is my free Facebook group.
Awesome. You guys go look her up. And we're going to get some tasty tidbits to add into the content toolbox resource area as well.
So. Yes. Stay tuned.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Booker. I really appreciate your time.
Yes. Thank you so much. It was amazing.